Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday, but with me, as always, my co-host, Nick Masos. What are you up to?
That's me. I'm here. I'm about to record a podcast. I'm feeling good about it.
You're feeling good about it, are you? Is it because it's Venom week? Well, it was nearly Snake Eyes week.
That's true.
We promised we'd do Snake Eyes this week.
But
we had to push it.
Then we forgot that Carnage, the Big Red Venom, it's debuting this week and probably several weeks ago, more months ago, in other countries.
It also came to streaming.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Mm. Yeah. So get on it, folks.
Get on it. Before you get on it, and I'm going to go through the topics for this week because people love to jump around using the time codes. Presumably. I just know at least one person gets angry if they're not there for a second or whatever.
I understand.
We're on a couple of things this week.
Yes, this podcast,
this
certainly.
Podcast, yep, that's yep. One. What's another thing?
Another one we were on is we were on Dave Warnke's podcast. As a team,
yep.
We were on Book Cheat, where Dave Warnke, he reads a book so you don't have to.
He tells you a story.
He tells you all about the book and the plot and the themes, and we have a bit of a laugh.
Yeah,
And then you can take that knowledge and go to a fancy dinner party and pretend you've read the book as well.
Exactly.
And then if anybody asks you any follow-up questions that aren't covered on the podcast, you leap out of a window.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Leap out of a closed window, shattering glass, and just, they remember you forever. Yeah.
Or you're like, I read it in college. I read it in college. I just actually read that one in college, it's not fresh in my mind.
And they're like, you're 17 years old. You have never even been to college. And you're like, and you have to leap out that window again.
You shouldn't have been at a dinner party if you're 17-year-old. You should be drinking in a park like all 17-year-olds.
That's exactly right. Park or under a bridge. Dinner party under a bridge.
Exactly.
Anyway, he told us all about the James Bond thriller novel, Ian Fleming's From Russia with Love.
I had a grand old time on that one, I'll tell you that much, Mason.
Me too.
We talk a little bit about the new movie, but it's obviously, we talk the comparisons between that and the original movie and the book and the history of Fleming, and we make fun of him. A little bit.
And Dave Warnke was going to take his dad to No Time to Die, so I'd be very excited for an update on that.
Oh, yeah, we want to get him back on the pod just for a minute, just to ask him. If his dad thought that one was better than the last one.
We make him drive down here.
Yep.
We bring him in. We say, what'd your dad think of it?
Yep.
And he says, he thought it was fine.
He goes, I think it was better than the last one.
Yeah, and we say, thanks, Dave. See you later.
Yeah.
See you in hell.
Yeah.
You got to leap out this window now.
Yeah. Your dad's waiting in the car.
Yeah.
The engine's running. You need to go. I was on a second thing, though, that you might be familiar with Matt, who edits a bunch of the videos on the YouTube channel.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's a terrific editor. But he's not only a terrific editor.
He's a terrific Redditor.
He might be. He's a terrific content creator because he's got a channel which focuses on a lot of Let's Plays called 38 Seconds, right?
I see.
They're currently going through all the different Colossi from Shadow of the Colossus, which is a good fun time with him and his friend William. But I went on we played together an absolute classic, an absolute banger from the year 1990.
So you went to his house?
Went to his house.
Mm-hmm. Took that flight.
Took that flight.
2 weeks quarantine.
That's it. And we played the Defenders of the Earth side-scrolling, absolute nightmare of a game. Just trying to get as far as we could.
Defenders of the Earth!
Defenders!
I didn't know that existed.
It came out in 1990, and yet the show went for one season in 86. I don't know.
Oh, and was this on the Amiga?
It was on the Amiga.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
So
maybe I have seen it.
That was a lot of fun.
I'm a big Amiga fan from way back.
Like we get into the history a bit of the characters. We get into
James. Yep. James. Imagine if James Bond was sponsored by the Amiga.
Like the watch. 500. Oh, like the
Amiga
the
500. Yeah. And he had to just.
He's got one in his backpack.
He's always carrying the Amiga 500 around with him.
Well, Bond, I see you bought the Amiga. Which is the one.
Yes, it's got 1 megabyte of RAM. Normally comes with 500K, but I got the expansion pack.
He plays a video game.
You got me the expansion pack.
He plays a video game in Never Say Never Again. Like
the
a weird hologram video.
It's like Battleship or something.
Yeah. Anyway, both of those things are linked below. Both a lot of fun. Please check them out.
Now, and we're doing our Hawkeye recaps.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Collings is chipping away at those every week. Luckily, they put the first two episodes together.
Yeah.
And there's only 5 in total as opposed to 6.
When we recorded the first one of those, episodes 1 and 2, I spent the entire thing going, I thought of something when I was watching the show.
Yep.
And it's really important.
Because at the end, I remember, we paused for a while.
I think you got distracted and went on
Twitter.
I think people are going to like need to know this thing.
Yeah.
That occurred to me while I was watching this. And yeah, and afterwards, and it bugged me the whole time. And then afterwards, I'm like, okay, give me another minute because I got to think of this thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't think of it and I went away. And then I remembered like several days later that the thing I thought of was that the Rogers the Musical was a shreckingly good time. That's all.
That was the thing.
That was what I was going to say in there.
Did have that vibe, didn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, you did not enjoy that at all.
No, cringy.
That particular moment.
Yeah. But I'm excited for the show. I'm excited for
absolutely.
the remaining five to eight episodes.
That's right. Anyway, so this week we're going to talk about what the new biggest movie of the year, some Spider-Man No Way Home details.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon Studios might be doing something with Mass Effect.
Ooh.
Trailers ahoy for League of Super, that's right, League of Super Pets and a new Jurassic World thing. Maybe a new Joker, question mark?
Oh, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Wait, no, I'm not. I'm thinking of a different thing.
You might be. Ridley Scott just going absolutely off chops.
That's right.
And then, of course, Star Wars news, courtesy of Kathleen Kennedy's own.
Off chops Scott is what we call him now. And we will henceforth refer to him on the podcast.
And then...
We'll do a recurring segment. It'll be like, off chops Scott is surprisingly quiet this week.
He is, isn't he? Mm. And then, of course, we're going to talk about Venom 2. We just did a clickbait episode as well where we talk a little bit about Ridley Scott and we talk about horrible clickbait articles, and that's at bigsandwich.co if you do want to check it out. Anyways, we're going to get started. This is via Deadline, the new number one movie of the year.
Is it Red Notice?
It's Red Notice.
Is it really?
Everybody in the world watched it 1,000 times.
278 million hours of viewing or something we read in a tweet.
I don't believe it.
Yeah. You can just say anything.
I know you watched it, right?
Yes,
I don't know. Like, even my normie friends haven't mentioned it.
Yeah,
and they talk about anything. Like, I get a message a month, maybe even once every 2 weeks from the same guy that's like, when's Top Gun 2 coming out? I'm not joking.
Is it?
It's not. Huh. Bleep the name, please.
Okay. Colin.
Bleep this one too.
Now it's going to sound like I'm saying a swear.
It's. Bleep that too, Colin. Sure, yeah. And I'm like, June. I've been telling you this for like a fucking year.
Put a note in your phone. You know?
I'm not the internet.
Mm.
Anyway.
But you are the internet's representative, I
Next
feel.
Time he does that.
Amongst your friends, you're the internet's representative.
I am, actually.
You're the most internet guy they know.
I probably am, actually.
Are you the most online guy they know, do you think?
No, they're
all... Because there's a difference between being an internet guy, I think, and being... Like, I'm both an internet guy, I think, and perpetually online.
I think there's a few of them who are online in certain Facebook groups, it seems. But look, it's not Red Notice. Good on it. They're making another 2, apparently. I'll get around to it one day, you know?
Yeah.
No Time to Die is now the biggest movie of the year. Previously, it was Fast 9, which had 733 million. This is snuck ahead. Sorry, it was 725 million. These numbers don't matter. And then 733 million, No Time to Die, has... crept out ahead, which, you know, is good. Two major properties competing, but one of them I liked slightly better than the other one. So the good guys win.
I think I read did I read this week that No Time to Die, it's achieved some sort of goal where it's the highest grossing movie of the year, but it's the lowest grossing
blockbuster or
Bond movie or something.
Yeah, it might be something like that. I think it's probably earned more than like Quantum and...
Mm.
Maybe even Casino Royale, actually. Yeah. It's for a blockbuster, for the biggest blockbuster of the year, yeah, it's low. Mm. But it's obviously higher than last year, and the numbers are creeping up. And speaking of Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh, speaking of creeping up.
That's right, thank you. Like a Spider-Man. The tickets are on sale, I think, by the time this goes out.
Whoa.
It looks like it's on track to beat it, and it will probably hit $1 billion.
Nice.
I mean, but who knows? You know what I mean?
We get a piece of that, right?
Yeah, every time we mention it. They send us a Hawkeye.
Spider-Man.
No, they send us a Hawkeye gift box. Which
finally, these random outbursts that I have come in handy financially.
I know, right?
Spider-Man.
Of course, you know, I'm pretty sure I said that Batman v Superman would have hit $1 billion. Like, if it's not good, it's not going to matter.
It's true.
You know, it won't necessarily make it. But, yeah, so there you go. That's the world is healing just on the back of another variant, maybe. Who knows what that one's going to do?
Yep.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
It's always good when the virus drops a new release or something.
That's right.
What's the expression for dropping an album?
Mixtape?
A mixtape.
Yeah.
But it's a poison that poisons your body.
Mm.
But, you know.
A tapeworm.
A tapeworm, that's right. This is why
I'm going to look so thin.
This is why in your coffin. This is why a big screen leaks. You get a cheap coffin though, don't you? You get the thin coffin, the thin man's coffin. That would probably be more expensive though, wouldn't it, if you went a thin man's
coffin. Like a tailored coffin. Yeah. Yes, it would, yeah. Yeah.
Because they're like pretty standard sized, aren't they?
Yeah. Like an hourglass shaped coffin.
What is there an oboe in this? What is this? big screen leaks are reporting that speaking of Spider-Man, this new movie is going to clock in at 2 hours and 28 minutes, making it the fourth longest MCU movie.
Okay.
Endgame was 3 hours and 2 minutes, Infinity War was 2 hours and 37 minutes, and The Eternals was 2 hours and 29 minutes. So this will be a minute shorter than The Eternals.
Interesting.
Thank goodness.
It was that last minute that did me in, I think.
It did, didn't it? You were on board.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So, you know, I don't know why I put that in, but it is news. It's good to know how long you're going to be in a cinema for.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
How many choc tops do I need to buy?
Mm.
Two choc tops.
It's too many.
Yeah, no.
Would it keep for the second? I think it might.
I'm always torn, James, because, you know, I love a choc top. But also, other countries have choc tops. The UK does.
It's a waffle cone. It's got a ball of ice cream on the top, and it's got a hard chocolate shell.
Yeah.
So they can mass storage.
They don't have to scoop them.
Yeah.
But because a choc top always feels like a dessert to me.
Yeah.
Like it's dessert.
Well, it is.
Food. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a choc top. But I always have to eat it first because I'm like, otherwise it's going to melt on my seat.
Oh, good point.
So I have to eat the choc top during the the opening trailers, and then I'm eating dinner second
with my
popcorn
or a
and
pizza that you've ordered.
Yes,
yeah.
But then what if I order a pizza? I don't think I've ever ordered a pizza and a choc top at the same time because the choc top would get cold, the pizza would get cold, and the choc top would melt.
Yeah.
So Sophie's choice.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, depending
both my children, I have to decide which one to sacrifice.
I mean, if you went a gold class, you'd get them to bring in a choc top.
Oh, I could, couldn't I? Yeah, that's
all
true.
All you got to do is splurge $18 for a ticket so someone could bring you a choc.
Or what I could do is I could order a popcorn and a drink going into the cinema. I could eat the popcorn and the drink, and then I could simply set my phone to film the movie as I leave, and I go out and get a choc top, and then I could come back in and I could stop my phone, and then I could watch it, you know, in maybe like double fast time.
I could live stream it to your phone.
Oh yeah, that'd be great actually. Yeah,
but you'd have to get me a choc top.
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah.
Okay, I wouldn't. I don't want it, but you have to get me one.
Okay? All right, sure. So can I eat the second choc top?
No, it's for me.
Oh, it's your choc top.
It's for me to put on the floor and then forget about.
Okay, great.
Anyways, Deadline are reporting that Amazon Studios are closing a deal on a live action Mass Effect series.
Oh,
this makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. People are loving the TV show Arcane. People are tweeting us, telling us, watch the TV show Arcane.
It's on my list.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm working my way through F is for Family, which I'll probably talk about a bit later, and some other stuff. Mm-hmm. But I do want to watch it, especially because people are like, this is genuinely great. And it's always nice when something's genuinely great.
That's true.
Yeah. I think they also announced Arcane Season 2, but it's not going to be like for a couple of years.
Oh, right.
Because this one was like 5 years in the making or something.
Now, Mass Effect.
Yes.
Now, Mass Effect famously is
Mastifer Effect, I think.
That's right.
The first one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the character's name is Mastifer.
Mastifer.
Like Christopher.
Yeah. Mastifer Effectiveness. That's his name.
Yeah. But his friends call it Mass Effect. But the question is,
we need you, Mass Effect. The moon's going to crash into another moon.
This second moon's just come out of nowhere, probably because of the Mass Effect, which is a different thing, but it's very coincidental that your name is also. Yeah, we know. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Just a fun coincidence. But it's famously a game where you can choose the appearance of your the outward appearance of your character and what have you. So who are they going to cast as?
It's tough, isn't it?
Master for effect. Master Chief, Master for effect.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yes, the stutter is in
there. I think they're going to go with the generic guy
with the crew cut.
I'd imagine. But it's nice to have a bit of flexibility in that, though, I reckon.
How about this?
Yeah.
Brother and sister team, same name, separate adventures, nobody can get mad.
Master for Master Fett.
Yes, like Smurfette.
Like Smurfette, that's right. Yeah, I guess you could do it like that, you know. You could switch it every episode or whatever.
Oh, inexplicably, sure. Or deliberately, gender change machine.
Yeah, totally.
The only way to get from one side of the ship to the other side of the ship is you have to go through a gender switch machine.
It's like a teleporter, except it switches your gender.
Yeah. And sometimes you're a human fly.
I've never played a single second of Master for Effectiveness.
I played the first one.
Yeah, they're obviously well-loved. I know the last one was, like, rushed and bad and not very good.
And didn't have if I remember correctly, the most recent one had a sort of all your decisions affect the ending or whatever, and it's just like you could choose from, like, an ending with, like, green fire, an ending with blue fire, an ending with red fire, essentially.
It's always a lie. Yeah. When they say shit like that.
But I played the first one. I thought it was pretty solid. But also, I think all the spectacular stuff happens in the sequels. I think there's I think it's the third one. You fight a giant Terminator robot, which is pretty.
Oh, that's cool. I think also if you play like, because I've been meaning to pick them up for years and I never had. But with the second one, you can just be like, it gives you like do you want a recap? And I'll just give you a recap. And if you only play the third one, it does a similar thing and you can quickly make the choices that you wanted to make, like leading up to it or whatever.
Yeah.
So you can just, But anyway.
You play the third one, it gives you the option only a recap of the first one.
Yes.
It skips the middle stuff. And it's like, the second one was kind of boring actually.
I think that was a good one though, wasn't it?
I think
it was. And then they made them change the ending of the third one, remember? Because everyone weren't happy with it or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, enough of this thing neither of us know anything about.
That's right.
At least you've played one of the games.
Yeah.
Trailers ahoy, Mason. There was League of Super Pets. I realized I didn't watch that. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it, but I do know one thing, that Mark Maron is playing Lex Luthor.
That's good. Mm. And I know John Krasinski is Superman. And I've just got the trailer open now and Superman's asleep and Buddy Crypto's trying to wake him up. That's funny.
Oh, my goodness.
That's funny joke.
That is funny joke.
And Crypto also wears glasses. I guess it's some kind of disguise. What is this? Anyway. And it appears he's trapped and they have to I don't know what this is. Anyway, but off the back of that, though.
He should James, I don't know if you're aware, but you know how Superman is very powerful and so he pretends to be Clark Kent, normal man, who's like a slumped over nerd with glasses because he's a weaker man or whatever.
Mm.
Crypto's disguise should be he should be one of those dogs that has to wear like a big diaper because he's old and his bowels are not great or whatever.
Or like he's got the wheels because his back legs don't work. Yeah, that's good stuff.
It is good stuff.
Yeah. Humanizing as
he's
well.
He's a fake three-legged dog. He conceals one.
Like those seagulls at the beach. Mm. You know what I mean?
Oh,
you think they got one leg?
On the left, two legs. They got you. You gave them chips and everything. You're betrayed. You shake your fists as they walk away at fast speed with two legs.
But I
gave you my chips, seagull.
I did, however, and I emailed you. I sent you a text message, I should say, to watch the Jurassic World Dominion first 5
That's
minutes.
True, you did, yes.
Which was very bold to put out because it's still not out for like 6 months at least.
Yeah. What's interesting, so in this first 5 minutes, assuming I saw the correct first 5 minutes.
Yeah, maybe.
It's the distant past.
Yep.
And we see
the 80s.
Yeah, that's right. We see a bunch of dinosaurs going about their daily biz. I thought a lot of it was quite cute and charming. Like there's a little dino and he's picking meat out of
them. There's a walking with dinosaurs vibe.
Yeah. There's hello, Wally. And you're leaving again. Okay, great. There's a little dinosaur. He's picking teeth out of what you think maybe is a dead T-Rex, but then it's just sleeping. I thought that was fun. And there's some bloody dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I thought that
a battle.
And then there was a smash cut 65 million years later, and then we see there's a double bill at the drive-in theater.
Yes.
And then some dinosaurs attack because they've all been released into the wild a la according to the last Jurassic World.
Damn you, Rafe Spall.
Yes.
He was the villain, wasn't he, I think, in the last one?
Sure was.
And there was a clone.
Or Toby Jones. Was Toby Jones in one of those movies?
Also in that movie.
Was he at the auctioneer or something? Doesn't matter.
Might have been the auctioneer. He was selling that dinosaur that attacks a laser.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Could we use a laser-guided bomb instead? No.
What are you, an idiot?
Could we use a tank? No.
No.
A tank you can control. A dinosaur you can barely control, as we'll soon demonstrate when it stops following the laser and starts eating everybody in this auction. I thought initially that this image of the dinosaurs crossing the savannah and all that sort of stuff was going to be the modern day.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Because the premise of the last one, obviously, is now sure. we have to live with dinosaurs in the modern world, right? Mm. So I was like, oh, that's fun. They've developed their own ecosystem and maybe we've abandoned a certain section of the desert and allowed dinosaurs to live in it. But no.
No, it was the origin of the T-Rex.
Oh, yeah.
That was the original T-Rex that got the blood and cloned from and...
Yeah, right.
And then it busts through in the theater, as mentioned. I can't remember the movies they were playing. But
American Graffiti and Flash Gordon.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
So it was the 80s.
That's true.
Even though the last movie was set in the modern day. So yeah, looks really good.
That would be a. Are they particular homages? Because one's Lucas, right?
Another one's...
And Flash Gordon is some old guy who's dead. Some old dead guy.
Some old. Who did direct Flash Gordon? Let me check. I've never seen it. We did talk about that also on our 30
I thought ones. I had this week. You know how, and mate, I thought you would know the answer to this.
I doubt it.
Because some months ago I went on Friends of the Show Total Reboot podcast.
Oh, yes, yes.
Talking about RoboCop. And we did briefly mention that RoboCop 2 was directed by Irvin Kershner.
Yeah.
Who also directed Empire Strikes Back.
He did.
So my question to you was, is Irvin Kershner directing Empire Strikes Back, did he actually direct it, or was it one of those situations where on paper he directed but it was actually somebody else?
No, he did. The third one was kind of more Lucas.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
But, yeah, there was a lot of interaction between – like there was a lot of pushback, and that's why I think Empire is good.
Yeah, right.
Because there was like a couple of creators. There was like Gary Kurtz and Irvin Kershner and George Lucas and I can't remember who and the writer who wrote Force Awakens. Can't remember his name.
J.J. Abrams.
No, it was the original ones. I can't remember.
Harrison Ford.
It was Harrison Ford, yes.
Yep.
And then by the third one, Lucas just like steamrolled the director.
Yeah,
but Irvin Kershner taught George Lucas at film school. I think he did some Bond films as well.
Yeah,
he did a bunch of stuff.
He did Never Golden Say Never Gun? Again.
Oh, is that what he did?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. What a weird career that guy's had.
I know, right? Mike Hodges was the director and he directed like Get Carter, the original
Your
one.
Your Codge?
Yes.
Your Codge directed
Mike
it.
Mike Codge directed it.
Wow.
So there you go.
That's
and he's still
rude.
Alive. He's 89 years old.
Your Codge is 89
My Codge
years
is
old.
89 years old. I did not misspeak. Anyway, Jurassic World Dominion, looking forward to
looking,
it.
Yeah, looking forward.
Even
fun.
If they're bad, I'm going to watch them That's every right. single goddamn one
yeah.
of them. This is via Facebook. This
Whoa,
is
all right.
I know.
Is this? Did you dive into the metaverse to get this?
I had to.
Yeah,
I put on a headset.
Oculus, yeah.
I put on a headset and I walked into a wall. So that was.
Let
fun.
Me ask you a question. How simple is the technology for metaverse going to have to get before you are willing to use it? Because I wear glasses.
It would have to be a pair of glasses.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That I can't feel.
I wear these glasses and I don't really notice it anymore. Like as a recent convert to glasses.
Yeah.
If they were any heavier than this, I'm like,
convert?
Nah.
You mean like you had to
I
get
had
glasses.
To wear them. That's right.
I guess then.
Yeah, I was shown the value of glasses in the sense that if I don't wear them, I walk into walls.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think if I just the idea of having to put on a helmet to go and do a meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that I go to any meetings, but
no, I know. But just I watched that. Not I didn't watch it. I watched people making fun of it, and
sure.
I went, "This is disgusting."
I'm jumping on board, making fun of this. I'm jumping on the virtual making fun of Metatrain. Toot toot.
Why is he like that?
I don't know.
I think we've brought it up a bit, but like, what the fuck is wrong with that guy? Like, genuinely. That's it. That's the question.
I think he just wants that Johnny Mnemonic Snow Crash kind of virtual
world.
Yeah,
but like he's everything about him. Like he blinks weird. And I know there's like the lizard person memes and all of that stuff.
Yeah,
but like what's with his haircut? Like the whole thing. And when he picks his metaverse character, it's him.
Just him.
It's exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Didn't have a robot arm or anything.
Sure.
I don't know. What a loser. He is.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I do like the idea that your avatar in the metaverse would just be you but with a robot arm.
Yeah,
just jeans and a t-shirt and a robot arm.
Probably.
Yeah. What's the robot arm do? Nothing.
Nothing.
Just an
Yeah. Anyway, this is via Barry Keoghan. And I looked up how to pronounce that.
Mm-hmm. His and it's Keoghan?
Yeah, sorry. He's he was in, yeah, apparently. He was in Eternals.
Oh, yes, he's don't. Druig.
He's Druig. The guy that's I remember. Right. He was in Dunkirk. Anyway, his brother, Eric, went on Facebook and wrote, so it's finally out. This might be a spoiler for the Batman, if you want to jump ahead. It's finally out, my brother playing the Joker in the new Batman, unreal stuff.
So, right then.
And then he deleted it.
Okay, sure.
Because Warner Brothers probably beat him to death.
Yeah.
So there you go. Mm. So apparently in it. And we also know somebody who has seen the new Batman.
Do we?
And we probably can't say who. Yeah, they messaged us.
Did they?
Yeah.
All right then. Great.
Mm. We can't say though because it's they probably signed a thing.
Oh, I can't remember now. Yep.
Robert Let's Pattinson. Say their name. It's Robert Pattinson. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
He's like, hey, fellows.
Hello, it's gents. Me. Hello.
I'm Robert Pattinson.
You know me from movie. I do, Robert. I do.
He doesn't understand plurals.
Oh, doesn't
Robert
he?
Robert Pattinson, yeah.
Yeah.
You know me from movie.
He only remembers the last movie he did. You know me from movie.
You know me from the Batman. We haven't seen it, Robert. We haven't seen it. We know.
We know you.
Yeah.
In general. But anyway, so BBC Radio 4.
We know you from the lighthouse. What? You what?
The lighthouse. Did we go on holiday? Oh, Robert.
No, Robert.
Robert, Pattinson. You need help.
This character will not endure. I'm predicting it right now.
BBC Radio 4. Ridley Scott.
Robert Pattinson with memory problems. Doesn't fly. Seems cruel, honestly. It's not even like it's not even an it's element not, of his character no, in real life. It's not even an element of his celebrity persona. I don't know. I don't know where it came from.
It's because I said movie instead of movies. Anyway,
okay.
Ridley Scott spoke to BBC Radio 4.
Mm.
This is about Blade Runner, actually. He said, we've already written the pilot for Blade Runner and the Bible, so we're already presenting Blade Runner as a TV show probably the first 10 hours. So despite these movies never being popular, never making money. Yep. There might be an anime going at the moment on Netflix
sure,
or something.
Why not? Yep, great.
And there's comic books and, you know, people like them.
Sometimes they rebrand. Does Andrew dream of electric sheep?
Does he?
Sometimes he does. No, sometimes they rebrand Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep as like Blade Runner the novel. And then there's been some Blade Runner sequel novels.
Yep, and you start to read that Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep and you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yes.
Like maybe somebody you know did that, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Maybe someone you know did that.
Was it you?
Yeah, it was me.
Okay, I've also read it. So yeah.
I have not read it. I've read some of it.
Okay, great.
So yeah, there you go. They're giving it another red hot piping go. Really? It must do well streaming then or something.
But I mean, this also might be like, all right, we're giving you like, you know, they might be like, okay, Ridley, this is your last IP that you have that we are willing to take a chance on.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Maybe they're like, okay, we just did an Alien. We just did the last cool duel.
The last cool. Do you want to talk about the last cool duel?
Yes, so.
So Ridley Scott also. Now, a while back or last week, he went on a tirade. I don't think we talked about it. We did on that We Got This Covered, where he does not like comic book movies.
Yes.
He's like, they're for losers and I don't like them and kids don't like movies or something.
He said specifically, I don't like comic book movies. And then everybody was like, what? And he went, oh, no.
I love
them. He loved them, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a twist there.
It's great. We all went along for that ride, didn't
we? Yes, we did.
Yeah, he knows how to elicit emotion.
He knows how to tell a story and build tension, which I like.
He does. You know? Anyway,
they call him the 10cc.
Is that what they call him?
Film directors.
Wow.
Which is the band that made that song.
Is it?
Yes.
I didn't know that. But he's promoting House of Gucci, which by all accounts has a horrendous Jared Leto performance.
As Gucci or Gucci?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Okay.
But he's apparently just doing Super Mario like the entire time.
Yeah, I've seen the stills.
Yeah. No, have you heard any of his voice?
No.
Let's do some.
Okay.
Let's do some.
A new segment, folks. Let's do some. It's the accent of the week.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. Come on, House of Gucci. I'll do it on my phone and then I'll be able to play it directly into the microphone.
Terrific stuff.
Yeah. Collins is editing this, I apologise, but here we go.
You have a gift, I'm telling you.
Stop, you're going to make me.
You're going to make me cry.
No, Nobody has ever said that to me. Nobody.
Hold on, why don't you have your own line?
These are just mock-ups. I can't afford to get serious.
He's very, yeah.
He's doing it, isn't he?
He's very sing-song.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what Gucci Oguchi was like.
Maybe he nailed it. Absolutely, exactly. Look, again, I haven't seen the movie. I do want to see it. I'm genuinely interested. Because apparently there was a lot of good elements of it. And some people actually do like his performance.
There's a lot of murder in the history of the House
apparently
of Gucci.
So, yeah. You know, murdering on the bloody fashion, bloody dance floor. What's the wrong way? The fashion,
the
dance.
Fashion dance floor. Yes. That's the stuff.
But I saw a criticism that was like, in his movies,
yeah,
it's like he's not with anybody else.
Oh, he's just
doing,
his
own thing, like his own self-contained thing, you know? And I haven't seen it.
Like he's decided that this is a musical,
yeah,
but nobody else is on board with it.
Exactly.
And he's trying to force it, by force of personality, he's trying to make it a musical.
Yeah.
Like he's gonna, like he probably leans into the director afterwards and he's just auto tune everybody else.
Yeah, that's.
Send me a copy. I want my own copy where this is a musical. Yeah.
Oh, good lord. Anyway, Ridley Scott said this because the last cool duel tanked. I think it boils down to what we've got today. The audience who were brought up on these fucking cell phones. The millennium do not ever want to be taught anything unless you're being told on a cell phone. This is a broad stroke, but I think we're dealing with it right now with Facebook. This is a misdirect that has happened when it's given the wrong kind of confidence to the latest generation, okay. I think. The confidence to not see The Last Duel. I think there's a number of reasons why people didn't see it. It's obviously a pandemic. I think also like...
It's a
sad grey movie, and there's like a very graphic sexual assault in it, which you see three separate times, and maybe people don't want to see that.
Sure.
I don't think people
want to see cool duels.
People want to see cool duels.
They're torn about it.
I do want to see it.
They're madly and brilliant at this. They're torn about it.
That's a cover song, though. It's a little known fact.
Well, it's, as I understand it, it's not technically like, it is a cover song, but it's also not a cover song because the dude who wrote it recorded it.
Yeah.
And then he was like, do you want it? Do you want, like it's been recorded a number of times.
Do you want it? Do you want it? He said.
Do you want this, Natalie Imbruglia?
Sure.
Yeah.
I want it. Yes.
Anyway.
But yeah, I think this is, he's just old. Because it's like millennials.
James, millennials, please.
Millennials, they're 40.
Normalize calling us millennials.
Yeah, please. They're 40.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about grown adults who are like, I don't understand a movie. I only watch my movie on my phone. And I, you know, it's like, and also like.
I only watch movie on phone and fashion dance floors.
Exactly.
That's all I understand.
And talking about like Facebook and shit. It's like, again, young people are not on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look, maybe it's because it didn't appeal to a certain generation, but also this is the kind of movie that like would appeal to older people as well. Mm. You know what I mean? Matt Damon and Ben Affleck and you know, they're clashing knights and whatever, and it's revenge and intrigue and all those things. That's, I feel like, is an older generational movie, and they also didn't see it. It's not young people not seeing your Matt Damon movie, you know what I mean?
It was a big week for, like, older people who've just reached the age where they don't understand things anymore.
I can't wait.
Brian May this week was
what
like...
What did he do this week?
This week, Brian May, guitarist for Queen, Dr. Yep. Brian May... was like, it was something like, oh, you couldn't have Queen these days. We couldn't have formed Queen because we would have been like, oh, we have to have a trans person in Queen or whatever.
Lil Nas X is like one of the big, he's not trans, but one of the biggest musical acts in the world.
Yeah.
Like constantly offending people for like, you know, making shoes with blood in it and whatever and being openly gay. People are ready for these kinds of things. It's not shocking, you know? What band is he talking about?
I don't know. That has to, like, it's part of the rules. Is it? I mean, maybe one of the reasons you couldn't make Queen these days is because the charismatic frontman who wrote all his songs is dead. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. Brian May, Dr. Brian May.
I didn't see this week.
Okay, right.
What's he a doctor in?
Astrophysics.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just, I'm not even, whatever. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't mean anything.
They're not causing any harm.
No, really, exactly.
Guys. They've just, again, they've...
It's past a point and it's confusing.
Grandpa Simpson meme, it'll happen to you.
It will. It totally will. Well, yeah, right? It's already happening.
I'm not on TikTok because it seems like you have to create video yeah. content every day and I can't be bothered.
You're seeing it happen to us in real time. Right? People would have seen it on this very show. You go back to the first episode, we're not the same.
We're not even the same at the start of this episode. This...
I said fashion dance floor.
Right?
Anyway, that's us yelling at boomers.
Yeah, that's a new segment. Guess. Yeah.
Yeah, oh,
we've had so many new segments this week.
I know, right?
That thing, the thing we said before that I've already forgotten.
The second thing, yeah.
Robert Pattinson's funny voice, the segment.
The man who only remembers the previous movies.
Great in. Bit we thought of. It's great.
It's got legs, I
yeah,
feel.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
What thing will he think about movies next week? We don't know.
We'll find out.
We're going to trial different personas, secret personas for Robert Pattinson until we get one.
Exactly. Mm. Star Wars news, Mason.
Okay. Right. Good stuff. Why not?
This is by Empire. Kathleen Kennedy said, this is about the sequel characters. Mm. Says, certainly those are not characters we're going to forget. They will live on. And those are conversations that are going on with the creative team as well.
I think I maybe saw someone this week. I think it might have been Mr. House of Gucci himself, Adam Driver.
Yep.
And he said, sure, I'd maybe come back.
Yeah, a few of them have said it. I think there's rumors of a Finn show, and it might be a sequel and a prequel where you find out about his early life. Mm. They should bring back Adam Driver. They shouldn't have killed him like that. It's like he was an interesting character.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about Rise of Skywalker.
Okay,
but no, I think those characters and whatever you think of those movies, and we've talked them to death. I think they are endearing characters. A lot of them.
So, endearing or enduring? Both?
Both.
Whoa.
Yeah. And maybe, but I think also maybe you want to give it some time.
Sure.
Because, you know, let people miss them and, you know, find, like with the Obi-Wan series, you find out what sticks, you find out what people want to see, and then you, whatever. Mm. I don't know. Anyway. Other news, Rangers of the New Republic. You remember that series that Gina Carano was going to head up?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like a bunch of Rangers of the...
The B-team.
Yeah, sure. The B-team.
The supporting cast members that don't have their own show yet, let's
put in Bill Burr.
Put him in a van.
Exactly.
Put him in that flying van from Spaceballs.
Exactly.
And they can fly around and battle evil or whatever.
Battle Pizza the Hut and all those things. She said, we've never written any scripts or anything like that. Some of that will figure into future episodes, I'm sure, of Mandalorian. So it's not happening.
Okay.
Which makes sense because it was going to be a Gina Carano focused series. Mm-hmm. She obviously left in a very public manner. There was a public dispute about what can and cannot be said.
That's very true.
And they parted as great friends.
That's right.
And now here we are. And they're going to work them into the different. Anyway, it's another Disney.
They're going to work them into an early grave.
Yeah, that's right. Another
full content.
Another Disney Star Wars thing. Just kick some dirt on it. Kick sure. some dirt over the top of it.
Yeah, nice.
And move forward.
Yeah.
Mm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Sorry to all G.I. Joe fans out there. We hate to do this to you again. People admit, look, we will do Snake Eyes next week.
Yes,
Snake
definitely.
Eyes Origins.
It's on the agenda. We've put it on the whiteboard.
Yep. It's coming up. You know, it's not something we want to skip out on.
No, that's
it?
True. It's a it's a disservice to the IP of Hasbro's G.I. Joe.
Exactly. And we're not here to brand slam, are we, Mason?
We're not. I mean, you know, DMC of the hip hop group Run DMC did not go on like the most recent Hasbro Pulse convention situation and did a rap about how much he loves Hasbro for us to not cover a Hasbro product on this podcast.
Is that true?
Yes. I'm pretty certain I saw it.
Yeah. And look, and it seems like also they're probably getting enough publicity this week if that happened. Mm. You know, they've already gone viral. Do they need us at this point to promote G.I. Joe's Snake Eyes Origins? G.I. Snake Eyes.
No, if anything, we'd probably bring them down.
Yeah. You know? And that's not what we want. No, we want to give it some breathing room. Mm. Anyway, so we are going to talk about Venom 2 Carnage Gonna Carnage this week.
That's right.
The sequel to the very successful Venom from, let's say, 2018.
Sure.
Might not be, though.
The before times.
Yes.
Back when.
Movies were movies.
Movies were movies.
And men were men.
Men were men.
The last one.
These days you couldn't make a Venom movie without a trans person.
That's so true.
Yeah.
The last one.
Just to go back briefly. Also, I'm aware that Freddie Mercury didn't write all the Queen songs. Don't at me, folks.
Me?
Yeah, don't you do it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool.
I mean, but he hasn't. But how many Queen songs have been written that you know since his passing?
Oh, zero.
That's
zero,
right. Zero is the songs. Correct answer. Yeah. Maybe that's on you because you're not keeping up with their discography.
Mm.
Yeah.
What about Queen Rap featuring Adam Lambert?
That's a good one.
I've made it up. It's not real.
Yeah, you got me. I was like, do I double down on this thing that isn't real? Nah, I'm going to let that one go.
Yeah, cool, man.
Just another character I have to commit to.
Yeah. The character of guy, it doesn't even matter. I'm not even going to give him a name, this guy. Just know he exists and he's nameless.
Yeah.
Shameless.
He's in an offshoot dimension. Mm. And speaking of, the original Venom made $856 million at the box office.
A lot of money.
Somehow. This one, off a budget of about $110 million, made $456, which is a very good return, again, considering the year, et cetera, and so forth.
Mm.
What do you think the story was?
Oh, okay, Venom.
Yep.
Venom, he came to Earth in the last one, didn't he?
Yep.
Or maybe he was already on Earth. And he bonded with...
I didn't rewatch first Venom.
No, neither did I.
Yeah.
And he bonded with Mr. Edward Brock.
Yeah.
And they don't get along, but they do get along.
Edward Brockalock.
Edward Broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
Heir to the Broccoli family fortune.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
But not the Broccoli family you're thinking of.
No, that's a different family.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
And then they had to fight a different Venom last time.
Yep.
In the previous movie. There was another Venom and he's like, I'll get you, Venom, for reasons I'm mad at you.
We're all going to fly up to this comet that has Venoms on it.
That's right. And we're going to bring the comet to Earth maybe and cover the planet in Venoms.
Something like that.
Yeah. But this time there's a different Venom.
Is there?
Another redder Venom.
A redder Venom.
That's right.
You're absolutely right. Should we just do spoilers? Have people seen this? Does it matter?
No, we can non-spoiler this for a minute,
okay.
I think.
All right.
This is directed by Andy Serkis.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, to be honest. Big fan in general, but I was very much just like...
Okay. What else has he directed?
That Jungle Serkis. Book movie I like.
Oh, yeah.
He directed a lot of like second unit stuff on the Lord of the Rings and Hobbit movies. Like he's a pioneer of like mocap. He's worked on video games as well, obviously.
That's true, yeah.
I think he's wonderful.
He's Claw in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah,
it feels like they cut down this from something else, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's very short.
My feeling was, I came out of this and my initial thought was, well, they tried. It feels like they tried to make something here that
what
was
good.
What do
you mean by what?
I don't know. It feels like they didn't just, it felt like they...
I liked it more than the other
one. Yeah, I feel like they didn't just go, oh, we've got to do a sequel, cash cow, whatever. We'll just knock it out. It felt like everybody involved, like the cast and the director, they tried, but it just was not impressive or anything. Is this movie anything, James?
I think you're absolutely right because a lot of this, I think, rests also on Tom Hardy is genuinely just going for it. Mm. I think the relationship between him and the Venom symbiote is fun and good, and you know, it's the they fall out of love, and you know, they fight, sure, yeah, and they, you know,
it's a real bromance.
Yeah, I think it's like, I think it's pretty interesting and
a
unique.
A symbiomance, yeah, is
and,
what it is.
And I like how like they live together, and he's just so grimy and sweaty all the time, and they really lean into that. There's a moment where he comes out of the bathroom in his house, and he just blows his nose on a hand towel,
yeah,
and
he's
keeps
just,
walking.
He's just a grub, this
he's
guy.
He's just an absolute grot.
He can do with the limitless pill as far as I'm
concerned. He seems that way. He definitely looks pre-limitless pill at all moments of this movie.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
This movie. This movie.
Yeah. Also, like, we'll talk about the universes emerging because sure, yeah, Venom might be showing up in other things which we'll get into. But I think also the idea of them working together to do some investigation stuff, because at the start of the movie, Eddie Brock is a bit down on his luck and he's the only one who has access to Cletus Cassidy. Mm. And so Venom uses his, like, photographic memory to work together to get the information about where Cletus Cassidy buried all the bodies. Mm. And I like that they kind of bring different skills to this, you know, like a little buddy cop kind of situation.
Also, I would argue, and we can talk about this more in spoilers, seems like Venom just has whatever powers he needs
to do a thing.
You know?
He can draw, and he can draw from memory and
A thing from later
that we can talk about. But I also like that, you know, as mentioned, they go through the motions of like...
a great sign.
Yeah, like, no, I mean, like, of like friendship and a relationship where they fight and they break up and and they realize...
They kiss, they make up
and they realize they, you know, they need each other and all those things. But I guess the question that was on all of our minds and the top of our domes is, what is going on with Woody Harrelson's wig this time around?
People didn't like the wig last time.
This big sideshow bob wig that he had, which I guess he also must have had just briefly in that movie, because we get a flashback to the 90s when a young Eddie Brock.
Who is played by another actor but has Woody Harrelson's voice.
Yeah, and he must be, I mean, if you went by the age that Woody Harrelson is, he'd be at least 35. Mm. But I guess he's a teen in a... asylum of sorts
with a voice of a man in his 50s probably.
Yeah. And then I think he's older than that. And then
he looks great.
He does look great, but then he has like his normal red hair, and then he must get the sideshow bob hair, and then he goes back to
the normal.
He's just
hair,
trying
yeah.
to look. I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
they already tried to execute him and it didn't take. Just
they gave him the chair and it fried his hair.
Fried his hair.
Yeah.
Let me check.
Should have
his
been
age.
The tagline, I think.
Yeah,
he
I think so.
Gave him the chair, but only fried his hair.
Yeah. And let me check. He's 60. So there you go.
There you
He's
go.
60. He does look over 60. But yeah, what else are we? What else are we doing here?
We got some supporting characters. We got Naomi Harris. This is not the best Naomi Harris movie I've seen this month.
No, absolutely not. I also think that like you could have had Naomi Harris in the flashback. It would have been fine, I think.
Yeah.
Because they didn't really seem that different in age, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got inexplicable shriek powers. That's fun.
Yeah, she's Shriek. How does that go in the comics if she gets a symbiote as well in the comics, doesn't she? I believe.
I don't know.
I think she does.
I couldn't answer that for you.
Because I don't like sound or whatever.
But again, like they tie it in so the police detective who Eddie Brock is helping on this Cletus Cassidy case.
Who might have been in the first movie.
Was he?
I don't know.
Okay, great.
Let me check. Let me check.
This is probably not even the best movie that features two actors who've both played the role of Al Capone in something.
Wow, that's a really big deal.
I check because Stephen Graham, who plays
he's great.
He's the police detective in this, and he has done many things, but he was Al Capone in Boardwalk Empire.
Yep.
He was also, he's Tommy in the movie Snatch, the Guy Ritchie movie Snatch. I'm like... There's no way that Tom Hardy and Stephen Graham have not been in a thing together. They have. They were in a TV series called Taboo.
Okay.
About the fun party game.
Now that's fun. Is it really?
No, it's about it's
Atticus.
It's a TV series created by Tom Hardy and Tom Hardy's dad.
Oh.
Dad Hardy. Ed Hardy.
Didn't their brand like implode?
Yeah.
And somebody's awful or something. I don't know. Anyway.
That's going to come up later.
Okay, good.
In what we're in.
Oh, great.
Yeah, they're in a TV series called Taboo. It's about a man in the, I think, the 19th century who he comes back from South Africa with a bunch of diamonds that he's acquired, like secret diamonds.
Oh.
They should have called it Secret Diamonds.
Secret Diamond
But anyway,
time.
They're both in that.
Okay.
They're both in that show. So.
And apparently it's all right. Apparently it's a bit of a slow burn.
All right.
Yeah, so there you go.
I didn't have time to check it out, but maybe I will.
Maybe you will.
They're both in it. They're fun. Good. Yeah, good.
Yeah, good. He's good, like, you got to help me with this investigation.
Yeah. That lady who was in the first one is old Michelle Williams. She's back in this
and
one.
And her fiancé who's maybe in the first one.
I think he is, maybe.
I think she's got a boyfriend in that movie.
Yeah, maybe.
But I couldn't tell you. Yeah. He was actually all right.
Is he the guy from Superstore or is he a different guy?
He's a different guy, but I know why you're saying that.
Yeah.
Yes. That
he's got guy from Superstore vibes.
He's got that face, doesn't he?
He does have that face.
He's got
face.
That same face.
Yeah. Look.
I also like, if I'm going to take a moment between a pause while I think of anything to say about this, that he just openly talks to himself in front of people now. Like no one can hear Venom. Yeah. So he'll just be like, he'll just chat away and people are like, what? And he's like, don't worry about it.
I think some of that was kind of fun. Like there's a fun bit where he's going to visit Cletus in prison and he says something awful.
Which moment? Because he does it multiple times.
He does it multiple times, but he's being inducted into the prison and he says something weird and the prison guard says, what did you say? And he says, I don't know why I said that. I think I'm just having a panic attack. And I thought that was a funny bit. Also in this, Carnage has his own, like Cletus.
Got his own. Oh, we should find out the voice for that actually.
Is it not just?
It's probably because Tom Hardy does the Venom voice as well. Yeah.
I'm not sure Carnage in the comics and Cletus are, like, they're not depicted as separate individuals.
I don't think they are.
I don't think you ever see.
I think he's all Carnage.
Yeah, I don't think you ever see Cletus's internal monologue and that they're separate. But in this, they speak to each other in the same way that Eddie and Venom do.
Yes.
Which is a little departure, I think.
Harrison was initially reluctant to provide the voice for Carnage and wanted Circus to perform instead, but Circus encouraged him to find his own right tone. He was ultimately satisfied with how it came out.
Good
on. So there you go.
Right.
Great.
How do you feel about the action in this movie, James?
Look, it's less spaghetti monsters.
Mm.
It's more like you see the punching and the stabbing and the whatever. It's completely bloodless because that's what these movies
there
are.
There is a scene in this movie, which I guess I won't give away the specifics of it, but there is a moment where I'm like, did Carnage eat a guy's head or did he not eat a guy's head? Because we don't see it on screen.
We do see some eating of heads, though. Definitely, right?
Maybe, but I think they definitely. I think they limited it for because it's PG-13 in the US.
And you want maximum BIM.
BIM.
Yeah, bums in movies.
Oh,
as in seats. I should have said bis.
Sure. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
If you want maximum bums in movies, you should watch the Get Smart movie, The Nude Bomb.
I haven't seen that.
I've seen it.
Is it good?
I mean, I don't know. Sort of a long time ago.
But you have seen it.
I've seen there's two Get Smart telly movies, The Nude Bomb and Get Smart Again, one of which features a chase sequence where Maxwell Smart is driving a desk. It's very funny. I loved it as a kid. He drives it because he's the head of the CIA or whatever at this point. He's got a desk.
Is the chief real life dead at that point?
I think he might be stepped down.
Yeah.
But imagine a James Bond chase sequence, including like the cars filled with guns and missiles or whatever, but it's a desk.
That is fun.
Yeah.
Let's do spoilers.
Okay. Wait, best movie ever or worst movie ever?
Oh, I mean,
I'm going to have to go with worst movie ever. None of it thrilled me in a way. I don't think it was enough of an advance on the first one. Beyond that, like, I think the relationship between Eddie and Venom is a little bit better.
Yeah, I think it's probably better than the first one.
It still feels like weird and dingy and cramped. And the thing what I was going to say about the action sequences is it's all a bit vague.
Yeah.
Like,
who can do what? What are their powers?
So the thing about
I'm going to say worst also.
And as we've mentioned in like previous episodes, I think probably like the thing about Venom or the symbiotes, they have this sort of extra dimensional ability where like they could open up a hole in their body, like just a hole in their chest, and something could go straight through it.
Yeah,
and not harm the person underneath. If you're inside a Venom, if you're inside a symbiote, sort of the laws of physics don't apply to your body, kind of thing. But it's never really explained, and it's never explained why Venom and Carnage, why they can hurt each other or not hurt each other.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Like if
you can stab one. Like
if Carnage chopped off Venom's head, would it kill them both or would it not kill them both? Because there are sequences where like clearly Carnage like shoots a big red spear right through Venom's chest.
Yeah, and he's like,
and they're both fine.
Yeah.
why? Like, and I know the answer is comic book physics, but I think if you are attempting to build tension in this sort of movie, you should explain why some of these things are lethal and some are not lethal. Otherwise, it is just two different colored octopuses like slapping each other. It doesn't, you know what I mean?
I know completely what you mean, but I do also think it's better than they were just like spaghetti monsters in the last one. It was just goo rolling on top of each other.
But I think there should be, and again, like, as
sorry, I was just looking up. It doesn't matter what I was looking at.
I was going to say, like we are, you know, we are across the idea of it, but I think just even like, you know, we're pretty resilient, but if he cuts our head off, we're dead or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, give that us, so then we know when, you know, Carnage is coming at him with a big blade near his neck, we know to feel attention and go, that's bad news. But otherwise it's just which of these hits are damaging and which aren't. It doesn't make any sense.
That's a good point. Mm. I think also if I'm doing a positive.
Yes, go on.
I think Carnage often looks worse in scenes because he's redder and brighter.
Okay.
But I think in general the design is good and he's kind of got that Resident Evil monster, like rotting corpse kind of.
Rotting thing. Tentacle corpse.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting choice because in the comics you don't really get. Like, they do have a distinct look, and how do you translate that visually?
And I think it works in, like, he does. Carnage is more distinct than the previous Venom enemy, which is, again, which is just black slime. They've gone with sort of a more, like you said, like that Resident Evil kind of slimy muscle. Like it's a, he's like a skinless corpse kind of thing.
Exactly.
And he looks like more oozing organs as opposed to just an oil slick, which I think
is
good. It's a pretty good, pretty solid design. But again, I just.
Do you like how Venom went on a little rave?
But I also, and it's also this idea of like, they just want to kill each other for reasons.
Because he told he told his secret.
Yeah, but you were going to tell the secret.
And then he got a new motorbike.
Yeah.
Was he going to tell his secret though, really?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Sexy Lady Venom is back.
Yep, sure.
Briefly.
Sure.
The fans demanded it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next thing. There's a speech where Cletus.
Oh, we're in spoilers now.
Yeah, we already did it, I think.
Okay, right. Great.
Cletus is like, we're the same. Me and you, we both accept our own show for yes.
He's like, I want to be you're going to be the one that tells my story.
Yeah,
why you? Why this guy? Why this loser?
We're the same.
Oh, because we're the same. Okay, how did you know he was the same?
Yeah,
because this like Eddie Brock is pretty under the radar. How did you even know he existed?
Great question. Well, he used to be a newsman.
Oh,
didn't he used to be a reporter?
I used to be on TV. Okay, right. Something. Okay, maybe he's okay.
There's a moment where Venom says, "We are the lethal protector."
Oh, he says it a bunch of times.
And
yeah.
That's from comics.
That's what he's called sometimes because you can't be like, we are the wanton murderer. we eat people's brains.
There's a moment where they have a connection at the end with him and Cletus Kasady. Yes. And then he just eats his head. And Venom's like, fuck that guy, whatever.
Yeah.
I thought that was, you know, interesting and surprising. But it's also like, he's done, is he?
Seems that way.
Like that.
Although I guess they could do it similarly they did in the comics where the Cletus Kasady body is dead, but Venom just Carnage just reanimates him, I guess. And, you know, just because Venom ate Carnage doesn't mean he can't come back. Maybe he'll poop him out and come back to life.
That'd be terrific.
And in the third one, Venom 3, death means nothing. do whatever we want.
We're definitely gonna get there. And Patrick Mulligan becomes Toxin, who's because his eyes, and I'm like, who's that? Oh, it's Toxin.
That's right, yes.
Great. Wasn't Toxin in the last one? I don't know. Riz Ahmed was one of them, wasn't he?
Mm.
So the universe I wanted to ask you about, and this is in the post-credits. Now, I did an ad for Venom 2. People might have even heard this in this very episode.
Interesting.
But they were very specific, and maybe I mentioned this in something else we recorded.
Okay.
I think I have. I've at least told you, but they were very specific not to say, do not say Marvel. Do not say MCU. Say like exciting universes merging and whatever and wider comic book blah, blah, blah. But not say Marvel or MCU.
Okay, even though this movie is in the dreaded in association with Marvel.
Exactly. That stamp of approval.
Couldn't stop us from making this. That's what it should say. Because we made the contract decades ago and
they
can't get out of it now.
Yeah.
Come hell or high water. They'll have to kill us first in association with Marvel.
But so, and there was also like half of the ad copy was like, push the post credits. And it's only like
the
three
lines.
The thing
we can't talk about.
Yeah. And which is also like, that's how you're selling it?
Yeah,
like
wild.
A thing you could look up on YouTube, you know, which has been on YouTube for months now at this point because, you know, someone filmed it in a cinema and, and whatever. But
I mean, no, go to jail as far as I'm concerned.
That's right. Anyways, the universes merge in the end. Maybe it's got something to do with probably No Way
Home.
Or
he transported. So what I was alluding to earlier is that one of Venom's inexplicable powers in this is that you can connect to the symbiote hive mind.
Yep.
And in doing so, at the end of this movie, Venom transports himself and Eddie Brock
into
the main MCU, or like you said, maybe the universes merge or something like that.
Yeah.
And Venom's like, "What's happening? I don't understand what." So this will happen once and ever again, probably. And then, but it was a bit vague because Venom and Eddie Brock go from one sort of hotel room, that might be on the beach. To another a slightly different hotel room on a slightly different beach.
It was cleaner and nicer.
Yeah. And then, which suggests that the MCU is cleaner and nicer, I guess.
Well, this
is
this universe sucks, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? It's gross.
It's gross and
grimy.
And like, is it the more?
Maybe that him. See, it's interesting. So is Eddie Brock's blowing his nose on his shower towel, his bathroom towel? Is that considered the norm in this universe?
Maybe it is.
Maybe we cut to like Michelle Williams' character's apartment. And she's in there, she's getting out of the shower, she's like just walking out her nose on a bath towel. Like, that's not what she's mad about with Eddie Brock.
Well, and then I guess if we're talking about Morbius, which we always are.
Yeah.
But Morbius also in the Morbius trailer was like, I'm Venom. Like, is he in the Venom universe?
Yeah.
Or is now...
Again, how does he know about Venom?
Well, is he in the mainline MCU universe also? Because Vulture's in that unit because they meet up in the trailer. Mm. Or
I reckon that's going to be cut out in the movie.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah.
Also, like, Stan Lee is on a magazine. It just says Stan Lee.
In what? In where?
Venom.
Oh, in Venom.
Which means that, like...
First Venom.
No, this one. Venom 2, sorry. Yeah, it's in the shop of the woman he knows.
Oh,
so
it says Stan Lee.
Which means that Stan Lee exists as a person who invented Marvel characters in this universe, but I guess not in the MCU.
Maybe,
but there are Marvel characters in this Stan Lee universe, but not the ones that Stan Lee invented, I guess.
Maybe in this universe he invented all the characters from the 60s.
Yeah.
But not Venom.
Not Venom.
Because that was Todd McFarlane,
that was
probably.
Probably Todd McFarlane. Mm. So, yeah, I don't.
Okay, so we haven't even finished talking about the post-credit sequence.
Oh, yeah.
Is there also another post-credit sequence?
I don't think
there
is.
Thing? Okay.
If there is, I didn't see it.
Right.
I'm pretty sure there's not. I'm pretty sure I gave it a goose.
So, anyway, they appear in this new universe and the TV is on.
Oh, yes.
And we get a little clip of J.K. Simmons revealing the thing that he revealed at the end of
Spider-Man,
Far From Home.
Which means that must have just happened,
yeah.
I guess.
And he's like, this Spider-Man, he's a menace and he's Peter Parker. And then it just cuts to like just a shot of Peter Parker without
standing
his mask
there.
On, just standing and looking in various directions.
Is that when he gets arrested?
When?
Because, you know, in the trailer you see him get chased by cops
right,
and then
right.
he gets arrested
maybe,
or whatever.
I guess so.
Yeah.
It just looked like a camera test or something.
It certainly did. Why are you taking your mask off?
Yeah. And then Venom's just like, ooh, I like this guy, and he looks the screen.
Why?
Why do you like this guy?
He's just a guy.
He's just a
as
guy.
As far as you know.
He's got, in this universe, he's got nothing to do with your origin story. Like,
yep.
Why do you like or dislike him in any way? Just a man in a onesie? All right. Guess you like men in good.
That terrific. Is good.
That is good, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so I wonder how much of this, like how much is going to stick. Excuse the pun, Mason.
Mm, is that a pun?
I don't know.
Okay, great.
No, not really.
Okay.
Spider's stick. He's got the web.
Oh,
I guess.
Yeah, nice.
Is that a pun?
Yeah.
It's a pun, everybody. Okay. Official pun alert.
Nice.
That's the pun button. I never used the
You don't know. We should label those buttons. Or we should put other stuff on the buttons. Can you change the things?
Yeah,
that
I think
on?
You can. I can just put question marks on all of them. Is that better?
Yeah, right, yeah. That's good.
So, yeah, look, how much I don't know how much of this they're just going to throw away and what they're going to do with Venom. I think they're going to do a Spider-Man Venom movie and they'll do the black suit and they're going to do all of that, but it just depends on in what order, I guess, and how much is Marvel. And because, like, honestly, the Sony stuff, the Sony live-action stuff outside of just the mainline Spider-Man movies, which I guess is just these two Venom movies and the upcoming Morbius,
yes.
I'm just not feeling any of this.
Great, yes.
You know?
Yeah, it feels like the bad old days of superhero movies.
It does.
Where it's like, this is a real shot in the dark as whether I'm going to enjoy this or
it
not.
It feels like Blade 3. Like, it's that got that kind of vibe, you know?
Yuck.
Blade 3 is all right, I guess. Got a couple of reviews here. This one's from Michael who says, went to see Bond and Venom 2 yesterday. Based on Mr. Sunday Movie's best movie ever, worst movie ever rating system, I give them both It Was Just a Movie.
Wow.
And T-Horn says, what a pointless movie and goodbye to the two characters that were marginally interesting. Worst movie ever. So there you go.
So the characters that marginally interesting were Carnage and...
And Carnage's friend.
Carnage's friend, right.
Yeah. And that might be true,
yeah.
But I don't know. And I've never thought about it, and I won't think about it. Anyway, look.
Remember when he went to the club and everybody's in costumes?
Yeah, I mentioned that, didn't I?
Nice costumes.
Did I mention that?
Yeah, you did.
He's clearly not in a costume. He's like 9 feet tall.
Remember the bit when Cletus is like, ooh, I'm going to get in this car that I found randomly. And then Naomi Harris's character's like, my favorite car.
And he's like, yeah, babe, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, nice, babe. Should we do the next segment of the show?
Let's do it.
Oh, man, I hate talking about Venom 2. Because I don't have any, what do you say?
Right?
It's like a stiff breeze.
I'm going to check very briefly. I'm just going to check the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group.
For?
See if anybody has any opinions on Venom.
I don't think anybody will, Mason. Venom. I'm Venom and my name is Venom. Where do I live, Venom? I blew my nose on this towel. I'm Venom. Where am I going? I'm Venom. Something, 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 I'm Venom. I'm having chocolate because it's in the comics. I'm Venom. I'm not funny enough to be a comedy. This action is whatever.
Wow, it's the cabaret of superhero movies. It's not good enough. It's not a good enough action movie to be the action's not good enough to be a full-fledged action movie. The comedy's not good enough to be an actual comedy. That's a shame.
You got any arguments against that?
Nope.
Exactly.
This we're going to do our segment, what we read.
Oh, you didn't find anything?
No.
Oh,
no.
I thought you were going to check the group.
Yeah, no, it's you know, results are middling.
Okay.
Opinions are mixed but middling, I think.
Wow, that's great to hear.
Yeah.
Good to hear we're on brand.
When you say it's on streaming now or soon to be on streaming, like you can just watch
it. You can VOD it or whatever.
Ah, so like $12.99 or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, right. All right, here we go. I'm doing the thing. Westworld.
You did it, James.
Mason.
Hello.
What are we doing this week
for
what we're reading? You mentioned something that you teased.
Oh, well, you said Ed Hardy.
I did say Ed Hardy.
And this is sort of tangentially related. Everybody this week is watching a 3-part documentary called Get Back, The History of the Beatles, or whatever that is. The Beatles, they're recording an album.
So isn't it a re-edit of that movie as well, or whatever they
released?
Maybe,
but I didn't watch that. I didn't have time, but instead I watched... It's on Hulu in the States and it's on Amazon here.
Oh.
It's called The Curse of Von Dutch, A Brand to Die For. And it's a documentary. It's a 3-part documentary about the history of the brand of Von Dutch. Do you remember Von Dutch?
Of course I do.
The iconic foam trucker hat. A sprawling 3-part documentary series chronicling the tumultuous and some say cursed rise and fall of the Von Dutch fashion brand, a cocaine kingpin from Venice Beach and a gangster surfer from Santa Cruz set out to launch a classic Americana fashion brand inspired by the father of hot rod culture, Kenneth Von Dutch Howard.
Those hats were very briefly everywhere.
Yeah, it was like...
Very expensive.
At one point they were doing like $150 million a year in sales.
That's too much.
Dutch. Yeah, but it's fascinating. It's a very... Very well done documentary.
And is it still a brand? I guess they get into it.
I imagine it's still a brand on paper somewhere, but when was the last time you saw?
Well, I haven't been to a club in a while, Mason.
I was going to say a shop, but you haven't been to a shop.
I haven't been to a shop or a club.
That's true, yes.
You know?
Yeah. Maybe this.
I haven't been to a fashion dance floor in a long time.
That's very true. Maybe this is the start of a rebrand. Maybe, I don't know.
Could be.
Yeah,
I always thought their clothes and hats look like shit, though.
Even at the time?
Yeah, just like weird, ornate fucking, yeah. I don't even know. That's not the right word.
Right.
But just like, and they're really expensive and you saw like a 44-year-old man squeeze into a dumb T-shirt.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I guess the difference between if you want to see if something is like an enduring classic.
I don't.
No, I know you don't. But I think if you want to see something is like, if you want to know if something is like too fashion-y, you have to take it away from like young, attractive person who it looks good on because you can just wear anything at a certain age and put it on a man in their 40s and be like, does this man look like a massive fashion victim?
That's a great benchmark.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm coming into that age. That's very interesting.
All right.
My life is about to get a whole lot worse.
You better believe it. I also watched a couple other things, but what do you got?
I'm watching F is for Family. It's the final season. It's a Bill Burr animated comedy, which is kind of loosely based on his life, I guess, in like the late 70s.
I'm way behind on that, but yeah, I watched the first couple of seasons. They're very
Like it a lot. It's
just a man who's on the verge of... He voices what I guess is his dad in that era, and he just a man on the verge of melting down at all times.
Yeah.
Just...
And I think it's been like it's been going since 2015, which kind of blew my mind. It's like pretty consistently good. I think there's a lot of like whatever, you know, Netflix animated shows. There was Hoops, which I tried for an episode. And I'm like, I had Jake Johnson. And I'm like, oh yeah, but I couldn't really get into this.
It was animated.
Animated, yeah.
Interesting.
A few others that I couldn't quite get on board. But I've always liked F is for Family. I mean, it's a bit non-PC, and you could never make it these days.
That's true.
Despite it being a show that is currently on.
They've
stopped it, so it is the final season, I believe. But it's kind of a shame.
You couldn't make it again, though, because people would be like, are you just making F is for Family again? We can't afford Bill Burr, because he's just done four seasons of F is for Family.
You cannot do this to us.
Running on an eye.
Six seasons, I believe, five or six. Anyway, there you go. Anything else you're bloody doing?
A couple more things.
Okay.
I did watch the first few episodes of, speaking of Netflix, Cowboy Bebop, the live action.
How did you go with that? Because I've also heard people like, actually, this is pretty close.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, there you go.
Again, I'm someone who came to the anime a couple of months ago. I think maybe I mentioned it on the podcast.
You did mention
it, yes. So I do not have the reverence for the original series that other people
You also do. Said it was a little bit cringe, I believe, the anime.
Did I?
Yeah, you were
did
like, because it's, yeah.
I said it was a bit jazz.
Oh, I don't think you said that. You said cringe, Mason.
Whoa. But I think it's fun. I think the leads are very charismatic. I think the actor whose name I cannot recall that I should look up, who plays Jet Black, John Cho's kind of, they're teammates on the ship doing cowboy stuff. I think he is dead on. But I think all the other two are sort of quite charismatic. And I think the action's pretty good, and
Expensive.
The setting is looks good and expensive. I don't know, it's pretty fun.
Okay,
I like it. I like the.
I should check it out.
I think you should check it out.
Do I need to watch? Did you watch all of Cowboy Bebop?
No.
How many Cowboy Bebop are there
of the animated?
Yeah,
I watched the first half of the. There's one season and there's a movie. So
okay.
I watched the first half of the season because I bought the Blu-ray, which they've separated into two halves of one season.
Oh, that's fun, isn't it?
Yeah,
so it sounds like you really...
And then it showed up on Netflix.
Like sounds like you really committed to this thing.
Yes.
All right, I'll check it out. Probably won't.
And one more thing. So in a previous episode, I think we talked about various genres that are maybe dead or come back.
Oh, yes, we did that
last
week, I believe.
And we did mention the pirate genre because, of course, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes, yes, yes.
So on the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group, Donal Story suggested... a TV series called Black Sails.
Oh, I've heard of Black Sails, yeah.
I watched a few episodes of that, and it's good. It's, I think it went for four seasons. So it's, as much as we make fun of streaming, I think it's fascinating that I can go, I'd like to watch some more pirate stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's just four seasons of this beautifully produced pirate show with famous people in it, and just like, oh, there we go. My wish has been made
it's
reality.
Not that one. It's
just immediately. It's essentially, the first season at least is essentially a prequel to Treasure Island. It's got Long John Silver and it's got Captain Flint and et cetera.
Oh, that's fun.
So
it's obviously like fictional and whatevs.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like a Vikings where it's supposed to be like a
No, it's all it's yeah, they're searching for the mythical treasure. And I don't know if
Is there magical elements to it?
No.
Oh.
So
it's like Viking sort of.
Yeah, but I don't know if in subsequent seasons it just becomes Treasure Island.
Yeah.
Because it certainly could because that's out of copyright. And
you know it will because the Muppets will turn up.
Oh, they are all Muppets. All these characters are Muppets. it's good fun. It's got Gustav Graves from Dying
Another
Day.
I was thinking from Breaking Bad. I'm like, he's in everything, but that's not the character's name.
No, yes. Yeah. And it's got Tom Hopper from... The Umbrella Academy.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it's also got...
Has it got a space hopper?
No, not so far, but I mean, who knows what's in that
treasure.
It's
a prequel.
Exactly. And it's got, among other people, it's got a guy who looks so much like the late Michael Hutchins from the band in excess that I'm like, there's no way this guy has not been in a biopic where he plays Michael Hutchins from In Excess, and he has.
So. was it the Australian one they did a few years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, 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 okay, cool.
Oh, Ollie's back.
Hello, Ollie. Wow, what an absolute joy. Okay, what's that on again, did you say?
It's on, in America, it's on something, Stars probably, and in Australia it's on Stan.
Excellent. Okay, cool. That's good that they did make a different pirate thing, isn't it? There you go.
Anything else you've written?
No, I think that's about it. I think it's probably time to do the next segment of the show, if you don't mind.
Letters.
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 The classic one was
letters.
Oh, letters. We love you. Letters. Some letters. They're only a take away.
I'm going to hear right now. We're going to do letters.
Oh, and just quickly, I saw Encanto today, which I'll probably talk about Suggestible. Right. This week on my less successful podcast, I took our son and we went.
Our son?
Our son.
Yeah, great.
Our little Jiminy Cricket fairy that follows us around and.
That's right.
And sends us good vibes. So there you go.
That's cool, man.
But again, I'll talk about that later. What section are we in?
We're
I'll tell you what.
We're doing emails and letters and
so forth. Yeah, we are. If you do want to reach the show, just simply, it's as easy as this. You hashtag Weekly Planet Pod on Twitter, or if you're keen. You shoot a Gmail.
That's right.
Over to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
You've got a bloody essay for us, and it cannot be contained within Twitter's 280-character format.
If you've got an essay, put in some paragraphs. Doesn't have to be at a natural point, but just break it up. Because a wall of text, you cannot do it.
Maybe one word a line.
Yeah, that's fine so.
But here's a short one. This is from Duran.
All right. Duran Duran?
Yes, from the band Duran Duran.
All right, Ed.
Says, such a small world.
Isn't it?
Hi, lads. Recently I went on a nostalgia dive and there was this YouTube channel that made Lego Star Wars animations called ABCD123 Toast.
Okay.
They hadn't made a video in a few years, so I tried to find out what happened to them. Turns out one of the people involved is the very own Ben from Canada.
What?
The video Battle for Naboo 2 was my favourite video as a kid. Crazy to think it's over 10 years old. I just thought it was a crazy coincidence that he now helps edit with my favourite YouTube channel.
And he's got his own excellent YouTube channel as well.
Tell Ben, where is Battle for Naboo 3 Part 2? From Duran.
Battle for Naboo 3 Part 2.
That Ben from Canada. He's a multi-talented
fellow. He really is.
He can do music. He can do editing. He can do acting.
He's a Renaissance man.
That's true.
Like much like the Renaissance era.
He's a real Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's right. In many ways, he is that man.
That's right. But anyway, people should check that out. Give a bump to a really old YouTube video.
That
hasn't had a video.
Was it
ABCD123
Toast? That's like nuts.
That. Yeah, it is nuts.
The last video was from 5 years ago.
Whoa.
That's it. Because a lot of these Legos ones used to be. Yeah, the Battle for Naboo has 3.5 million views.
Oh.
I wonder if it's the same Ben. I mean, I guess it is. They've looked into
well,
it, presumably.
Tell us, won't they?
Yeah, that's right. All right. I've got a tweet here, Mason.
Go on.
Because, you know, it's as easy as hashtag Weekly Planet Podding on Twitter. That's from Luca, who says, hi, James and Mason, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. I saw Henry Cavill's GQ Iconic Roles video today, and he said, Superman is still something I'm very keen to flesh out.
Did he mention us?
He mentioned us.
Wow.
Do you want to see him again as Superman, or should they move on with other ideas like Val Zod, etc.? Yes, I do want to see him again.
I'll see another Superman with Henry
Let's
Cavill, sure.
See him do a different thing.
Superman, and he's assembling a PC.
Yeah, that'd be great. Not in costume, just in like a singlet and whatever. And he films it on a webcam.
I think he should be in costume, and the cape's constantly getting in the way.
They CGI it?
No, it's real this time. They've weighed him down with a very heavy real rubber cape.
And a big wind machine.
Yeah, big wind machine that keeps going over the tower. He keeps trying to put in. Oh, and he's put the video card in backwards. He's got a. Take it out again, but he's already soldered something in for some reason.
Why isn't he using his crystal computer at the Fortress of whatever? Oh, he doesn't have a Fortress of Solitude, this guy, does he?
That's right.
Because it crashed into the middle of Metropolis.
Oh, yeah.
And he left it. Let people poke around in it.
That's true.
Yeah.
One more dumb Superman movie featuring dumb Superman.
Yeah, I'd like to see more dumb Superman.
Absent-minded Superman.
Please. But yeah, I think we will see him at some point. But what that's going to look like? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know at this point. What have you got elsewise?
I got one more email.
Okay.
This is from Jay Insult. Great name.
Jay Insult.
Subject line, translating for a fellow New Jerseyan.
Oh.
Dearest James and Meso, in your latest episode the time of this writing, good, Meso was utterly baffled by a letter from a listener named Rob from New Jersey, which is a fellow New Jerseyan I can shed some light on by having you read his sign off. P.S. It's pork roll. My associate from New Jersey has caused you to unwittingly voice a side in what is perhaps the number one culture war in the Garden State. Fun fact, Victoria, also the Garden State.
It is true for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably because of the gardens.
Probably because of the garden we have, yeah. The one garden.
There is a certain, I'm very fascinated by this. There is a certain cured meat product which is produced and eaten exclusively in New Jersey, sliced and fried, most often on a hard roll with egg and cheese. It just so happens that Rob is on the right side of history. This product is indeed called pork roll, despite the insistence of some in the northernmost regions of the state, which insist it is called Taylor ham. Too much controversy.
Taylor ham?
Taylor is a brand name, so this is akin to calling all tissues Kleenex or all sodas Coke. At the risk of getting too deep in the reeds, it bears mentioning that even the Taylor package bears the name of pork roll, so you may remain steadfast that your listener did not steer you wrong, even if you had no idea what point he was arguing. Incidentally, this is a long one, but I like it. Incidentally, I've been a vegetarian for nearly 20 years now, and I still get heated immediately if I hear the product referred to as Taylor ham, so that may give you some insight into how important this debate is to New Jersey culture.
Wow. Does that sound good?
Take a look at the photo of it and make your own decision. It looks a bit like corned beef.
What would I – so I shouldn't Google Taylor ham.
I Googled it. If you Google Taylor ham, the Google result says pork roll.
Okay.
So that's what you actually get there. It is my honour and privilege to explain this to you, gents, as I'm both a massive fan of the pod and of Australia in general. Through my involvement in punk music, I've made many friends of your fellow country folk who have in turn told me of many wonderful pieces of Australian culture, including Shoeys, Magpie Swooping, Engadine Macca's 1997, and of course Goonsacks. We have something like Goonsacks over here, but we call them space bags.
Yeah.
Because they're silver in colour, resembling what one might imagine an astronaut would drink bad wine out of. Thank you both for always being a highlight of my week, and might I humbly request the honour and privilege of being named the official New Jersey douchebag to Australian Bogan translator of the pod.
Very
truly
yes.
Yours, Jay Insult. That makes a lot of sense why he's called Jay Insult now.
Yeah.
He's the punkster. Have you met anybody in Frenzel Rom, Jay Insult?
I've not. I thought you were asking me.
Have you, though?
I have not met anyone.
I'm not either. Maybe I have.
Yeah.
Anyway, but Jay, if you've met Jay Wally from Frenzel Rom, let us know.
Please let us know. Some of this looks good and some of it looks like a spam sandwich.
It does look a bit spammy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I love regional foods.
Yeah.
But also what I like here is that we have stumbled on what I think we should be doing, which is adjudicating regional questions from around the world. Sometimes, sometimes on the internet people will be like, is a hot dog a sandwich? Let me tell you, as an outside observer, no, it's a hot dog.
It's a hot dog.
And I think people should email in weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com if you have like a regional argument.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, half of this city says it's a thing and half the people say it's a different thing. Let us know. Give us some information, but not all the information, and we will adjudicate this right.
Yeah, absolutely. We're happy to do it. I don't think it is spamish. I'm looking up the ingredients, and there's a bit of vagueness in terms of like what's in this, because they just be like, yeah, it's ham, but
it's ham and chemicals.
They're like, there's spices and things in it. I'm like, yeah, be specific. What is it?
It's extruded from a machine.
Yeah,
comes out of a conveyor belt. We put a pig in one end. And then a roll of this stuff comes out at the end.
I can order this.
You're going to order some Taylor ham?
I absolutely could. I won't.
No.
It says it's pork, salt, sugar, spices, lactic acid, starter culture, sodium nitrate again.
Can you bring up the ingredient list for spam? We'll see how close that is.
You might be right. I'm just looking at the back of this. Yeah, the fat content is not as bad as I thought it would be. It's not ideal.
Sure.
But the calories are obviously pretty high. Oh, not that high. Depends what one serving is. Like, what is one serving?
Yeah,
make,
one serving is usually like one slice.
Yeah, exactly.
But oh my God, love a.
Then it's 150 calories.
And put an egg and cheese in there. Oh my God, I'm in heaven. Let me tell you.
What's spam actually made of? What am I doing?
James, we need to know.
Oh, it's very similar.
The science.
It's very, very similar, it seems. Right. But it does have vitamins. It says 1% vitamin C in its spam. So I guess that has the upper hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, should we move on?
Yes.
To this tweet. This tweet from Stephen, who says, #WeeklyPlanetPod, what do you think is the biggest drop in quality from the original property to the sequel? Men in Black was a precipitous drop-off.
Yeah,
it
really
was. Zoolander was even worse.
I've not seen Zoolander 2.
Atrocious.
Okay.
I've got a few here, #WeeklyPlanetPod, that I've written down. Highlander 2.
Yes, that is definitely.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, you know, that is definitely a drop.
I don't think this is probably accurate, but I thought.
But Highlander 4.
Whoa,
back in the stratosphere,
back up there,
baby.
They've done. And then Endgame, Highlander Endgame or whatever.
Yes.
I know Endgame. I haven't seen the first one. Pirates 2, I thought was much worse than Pirates
definitely,
1.
Definitely, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's probably not an insane drop off, though. You know what I mean?
It's not Men in Black 2.
Yeah. Oh, Dragonheart 2? Oof.
Okay, right.
Woof, Mason.
Wow.
I've just written probably some Star Wars. And I think it just depends on what you think of certain Wars movies, you know what I mean?
But look, prior to this, I would have said definitely Men in Black 2. That's definitely the...
Yeah. Got a few
more. Not that Men in Black 1 has necessarily aged great.
No, I think it's still pretty good, solid
and fun. And, you know?
It's the one I would watch. Mm. I wouldn't watch any of the others, except for 4, which was very good. Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, I'd forgotten about... Okay.
It was very good, remember?
No, it wasn't.
We did a podcast about it. We said it was very good.
No,
we both decided.
I don't recall that at all.
I thought Shrek 3 was atrocious.
Oh.
But Shrek 4...
Okay, but what sort of a time did you have while watching it?
A bad time, because I was watching Shrek 3.
How? What sort of a time did you have watching Shrek 2?
A good time, because it's a good movie.
What sort of a good time?
It's like funny and good, and I liked it.
What kind of a good time?
I had everybody looked around.
You had a Shrekingly good time. All right? Now moving on to the end of the podcast.
Indiana Jones 4.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty big drop off.
Definitely. Yeah. I guess I was just thinking first after, movie, second movie, but like after Last Crusade.
Come on. The Hobbit movies.
I've only seen the last Hobbit movie, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't know, but it was bad, so I trust that judgment there.
And I put in terms of video games, even though I didn't love the first one, but I really liked the story, The Force Unleashed 2 was dope, actually. It was really dope. I loved it. And I love using the word dope. Dope means drugs, and drugs are bad.
What sort of a good time would you say you had with it?
With what?
A Shrekingly good time.
With what? With Shrek?
The Force Awakens thing you said.
Oh, it was all
Force
right.
Unleashed, whatever right. it is. Okay, great.
It was all right.
Okay, great.
Should we wrap up the show?
Yes, folks. Thank you so
this
much.
This has been
listening.
A Shrekingly good time.
Everyone in the room's had a Shrekingly good time. We hope you, the listeners, have also had a Shrekingly good time.
I can tell they have.
Yeah. I always initially go with the viewers. I hope the viewers have
people are on YouTube.
When I record the podcast, I initially go to viewers. When we record a video, I go listeners.
Yeah.
I think my brain's gone funny. It's gone to mush. Anyway, folks, thank you so much for listening and telling your friends about it and liking the podcast and sharing the podcast and leaving a nice review.
James, I'm just bringing them up right now, Mason.
Right now.
You can just do it in app. It's very helpful. My ears did that thing where it feels like I just went like down in a submarine.
We're in a submarine. That's probably
good.
What.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's the only safe way to record this podcast.
Got a couple here. This is from RMR 1977. Greatest show ever. All the pits. Love this show. If you're expecting hot takes and gas bags, it's probably not going to happen here. But when they do or don't like something, they talk through it rationally, unless it's Wonder Woman 1984, which we can all agree is trash, unless you don't agree and that's fine. Also, get vaccinated unless you can't. But if you can, do it, arsehole. What are you waiting for? Look, I didn't want to be the one to get political. I'm just reading the review. And this one is from Joanna X, who says, not enough cowbell. James and Nick Maso are my favorite dynamic duo. Wow, that's high praise considering how many dynamic duos there are, including Shrek and Donkey from the Shrek musical, which
and
by all
accounts.
And in
the superhero realm, Peter Parker and Ned.
Shrekingly good time. Ned. Those two, aren't they, having together?
Yeah.
Terrific. What's next, Mason?
Folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com or Facebook or Twitter or at Bandcamp. You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. You can go to the Weekly Planet Pod Reddit and Discord and so forth.
Okay.
You can follow, if you wish, the great Rob Collings, who edits this podcast, and he edits Suggestible, and he edits
those videos.
Our Marvel recap videos on the YouTubes. He's doing it all. You can follow him at Rob Collings on Twitter.
Absolutely
you can follow
can.
Him at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. You can follow me at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter, and on Instagram at Nick Maso, NickMaseau. James is Mr. Sunday Movies. Everywhere. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. Chuck in a buck or an amount you would not miss.
Yeah.
That's more after. Or not at all. You can just listen to the podcast.
That's fine too. We don't mind.
That's right.
We love it.
Yeah. Or you can go to bigsandwich.co. You can sign up for $9 per month. And you get bonus podcasts. You get a bonus podcast every week or a movie commentary.
That's right.
Depending on the week.
That's absolutely right.
It's a great time over there. And as mentioned, there's a fresh hot we got this covered a podcast where we talk about the best of clickbait of the week, and I explain the clickbait and I go through it and I read it and James gets very upset and there's often a sigh. This week there's a sigh before we even get started. He's resigned to it
because I knew it was coming.
Yeah, that's right. You can also buy some t-shirts at tpublic.com. You just search for The Weekly Planet. Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all the musical themes. And that is the podcast next week. Snake Eyes.
That's
G.I.
right.
G.I. Joe presents Hasbro. Pulse presents DMC from Run DMC. Does a rap about how much he loves Hasbro stuff. And
we love Hasbro.
Probably Snake Eyes is in there somewhere.
Snake Eyes. I can't wait to talk about Snake Eyes. I feel like it's been a long time coming. Right? You know what I mean? And I've actually been rewatching it again every week leading up, and I hope people are doing the same.
That's right, because then we're all on the same page. We're on the same page of familiarity.
Yep.
We know the delivery of every line.
Yeah, we can
really speak to that in a knowledgeable way.
Yeah.
Little jokes, you know.
It's funny how much you can get out of a movie if you watch it 7 weeks in a row.
Yeah, and what maybe, because we're going to do this too, we're gonna make our own Arashikage ninja sword.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to forge our own swords live on the podcast. So if you guys want to get started on that project also.
Yeah.
We can have a big sword fight in the park as well.
Yeah, it's also – I've got the Storm Shadow costume that I'm getting custom made.
And we're getting the clan tattoos,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you got the Snake Eyes one. And it's just looking – it's really coming together. We're actually going to film this one. We're currently building a set.
That's right.
It's really exciting. Yeah. I cannot wait to show you guys our Snake Eyes episode. Yeah. So we're filming that this week.
That's true. We're going to get on it. I've quit my job. And we're gonna pour all the money we've ever made – from this podcast.
That's right.
And I've spent most of that money, so I'm going to have to get out a huge loan. We're going to make this. We're going to remake Snake Eyes.
How's
JoJo Origins Snake Eyes?
I mean,
it's bad.
How do you improve on it?
We can't. That's the thing. We can't do it.
It's more of a homage,
I guess.
It's
an homage to the greatest movie we've ever seen. We've definitely seen it multiple times.
Yeah, that's right. Just also a quick shout out to Sarabi and Maisie and Fidel who are coming on. I mean, they already adjudicate like the Facebook group, but they're coming on board to do like other things as well, which I really appreciate that. There'll be some TikTok things and other things going on.
We've got them to fly to Australia and dress as ninjas.
That's right, exactly.
For the snake guy, we're going to kill him on screen.
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to be great.
But it's for content.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. And thank you to those people who have been consistently good, but now they get to have more money, which I think is also good.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week for Snake Eyes.
Snake Eyes. Can't wait. Snake Eyes. Just two snake guys talking snake eyes, you know? We're the snake guys.
James, have we been calling it Snake Eyes this whole time? Because I've been watching the Asylum film Snake Guys. I've watched that like 22 times now.
Snake Guys. That explains your Snake Guys costume,
right?
Very good. All right, thanks everyone.
Okay, bye for real. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.